Hare Krishna. Good mystical morning to all of you again. We continue with the first three steps of the Bhagavad Dharma, or the first three Bhagavad Dharmas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Aganati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Akandamanalakaram Yaptayena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Some devotees pointed out that this verse from the Guru Gita is loved by Mayavadis, but I've seen a very Gaudiya translation where Akanda Mandala refers to Vraja Mandala, revealed by Guru Maharaj, to whom we offer our obeisances. So there is a good devotional translation of this verse. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yasya prasadadagyopi sadhya sarvagyatam rajasa shichatanna devo me bhagavansam prasidatu. May Shichatanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By his grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our goal is Krishna Bhakti, and our process is Krishna Bhakti. It's elusively simple formula. Krishna Bhakti is the goal, serving Krishna directly is the goal, and Krishna Bhakti is the process. And what is Krishna Bhakti? Krishna Bhakti is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, going to the temple, offering obeisances, and distributing books, all of these wonderful, beautiful things. Right? Right. still, there are some details which it pays to know. Yes, and if you don't know, then you will feel some need to learn something. So you can see, as we pointed out yesterday, when Bhagavad Dharma is described, actually Bhagavad Dharmas, it's usually in plural, when Bhagavad Dharmas are described in the Bhagavatam, the first three mentioned are what? Mercy, friendship, and respect. Yes. So, Dayam, Maitrim, and Prashrayam. Yathochitam, as is proper. So, mercy, friendship, and prashraya. So, that's respect, reverence, some service attitude. These are very famous three behaviors. They are universal in all the spiritual paths. And they themselves are called upayas, or actually Bhagavad Dharmas are called upayas in some of these verses, or methods, or remedies, that which helps us to conquer obstacles. Yoga Sutra by Patanjali Muni lists these four attitudes of a Madhyam Bhakta, four practices of a Madhyam Bhakta, saying that if you have obstacles, and there is a list of 9 and other 12 obstacles to samadhi, there are different ways to conquer them, and one of the ways to conquer all the obstacles to samadhi is when you see somebody suffering, you feel joy. Correct? That's normal. That's what I usually feel, right? But the practice of a spiritualist is to feel compassion. Is to feel compassion. When we see somebody happy, we feel envy. Normally, but as a devotee or a yogi or a spiritualist, one is supposed to feel what? Somebody is happy, we feel joy. Yeah, we are gunadikam mudam lipset. Mudam means happy, happy to see somebody happy. Para dukkha dukkhi, para sukha sukhi. That's a Vaishnava and a Brahmana, according to Shastra. Brahmana is somebody who wants to see everybody happy in every respect. In every respect. Not that you look at people and you wait. Just wait, just 2 more years, you will see such a financial crisis. Ha ha ha! It's not a very Vaishnava or very Brahminical attitude. Sorry. Of course, full happiness is possible only by Krishna consciousness. So that's why a devotee tries to give Krishna consciousness. For that also it helps if you are experiencing some spiritual happiness. Otherwise, you know, sir, please buy this book. It will make you happy. Oh, really? Did it make you happy? No, but it should. I know. That's not a very convincing preaching. Of course, there are periods of suffering in devotional service, and they are legitimate periods, legitimate stages, which give us very valuable lessons and tests and training. But even these periods of suffering are permeated by spiritual sweetness. They are bittersweet. As they say that coming to Vrindavan is like a good chutney. It's too hot to swallow, but it's too sweet to spit it out. So there is sweetness in that. So compassion to suffering, happiness at the sight of others' happiness, and then Yoga Sutra says pious. If you see somebody pious, you make friends. Or Bhagavatam says when you see devotees, you make friends with devotees. And the rascal demons. What do you do with them? How do you look at them? Neutrally, right? You are indifferent towards them. So Yoga Sutra says the sinners, the incorrigible sinners. Then you just don't look at them too much. You know, don't pay too much attention. Don't become too angry and hateful at towards them. That's if you practice these four attitudes, you will advance very smoothly and quickly. The same, we have four Brahma Viharas in Buddhism, same things. Actually, I think like a couple decades ago or one decade ago, it became very popular to speak about loving kindness. Did you hear this? Loving kindness, metta. They say. Actually, metta is the old vernacular Sanskrit or Pali for Maitri. Maitri, it's the same thing, Maitri. And this friendly attitude towards everybody is what changes our, being a well-wisher, changes our consciousness. Actually, it's a quick switch which can change our inner attitude. When you just inside, you say what Prahlad Maharaj says in 589, Svastyastu Vishvasya, may everybody be happy. May everybody be happy in this world. And Kalah Prasidatam, even rascals, may they be pacified. And of course, this is possible only by bhakti, Prahlad Maharaj says. So these are the four attitudes. So mercy, friendship, and respect. If you saw every single person around you in the temple or devotee community practicing these three attitudes very seriously as the first Bhagavad Dharmas, what would you think would be the atmosphere in the temple? It would be like Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, like the spiritual world, isn't it? And this is what we expect from every sadhu, from any spiritualist or practitioner. Titikshava, Karunika, Suhrida. This is what we expect. He's tolerant. Well, that's the definition of friendship. He's tolerant. He tolerates you, and you tolerate him, right? and kind, karunika, is kind, and that's suhrida. That's a friend. Not that, okay, if he brings me a nice sweet, okay, that's a friend. But today he brought, then another day he brought, 3 days ago he brought, 2 days ago he brought, yesterday he brought, and today he didn't. What a rascal, you know, what kind of friend he is. It's a common experience. No, friendship and relationship is a sacrifice. We will have to learn to tolerate and serve. Nobody can hurt us as much as friends. That's why nowadays people are afraid to marry, are afraid to open up, are afraid to have friends. Because it's a guaranteed way to be hurt. You will be hurt. No doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, like in prison, what is the worst punishment they give to a person? Solitary, right? So apparently, a company of the worst criminals, the craziest people in the society, the bottom of the bottom is better than being alone, than the company of our mind. If you're not a Goswami or a saint, right? People prefer to have company. I mean, even the worst criminals prefer other even worse criminals to being alone. Schopenhauer famously said. By the way, I saw 2 days ago on the Govardhan. I saw porcupines, Stachelschweine, these dicobrazi. Which other language should we use? You know these long needles? They have these black and white. They were like four of them, the whole family. So it was interesting in the night. So Schopenhauer said that people are like these Stachelschweine, these porcupines. When it's cold, they try to get close to each other to get some warmth, but as they get too close, they start pricking each other. So they again try to distance themselves, but then it's too cold. So then again they try to go get closer. That's our predicament. So what's the solution? Become a devotee. don't be covered with needles. Don't pinprick others unnecessarily. And don't pay too much attention to others' other people's needles. So friendship, respect, and mercy. So mercy. And you can see, these are very, very famous. These are actually the three attitudes recommended by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And throughout the Bhagavatam, throughout even in the Gita, sometimes they are said to be the essence of the Vedic culture. And this is the basis of the Vedic society. Seniors you treat with respect. Actually, everybody you treat with respect, but respect, service, appreciation. And then if somebody is somewhat less qualified or somewhat junior, then you treat them with anger. Yeah? No, mercy. Yes, mercy. And maitrim samanam anvichan. One should seek friendship. Anvichan. One should seek friendship with equals. You have to find at least one equal, if it is possible. Must be possible. In the whole world, there must be at least one person equal. Right? And not completely, of course. Not like fully, but you know, in the bulk, you know, just like generally, approximately. And make friends. And of the three, what is the most challenging? Which is the most challenging? Friendship, yes. You can see that it is given as the most, it's one of the most challenging things. Because even in the material world, like giving mercy, in fact, can be somewhat enjoyable. Right? Basically, it's top down. You're the top dog when you give mercy. Right? And this is the quite common acceptable material situation. Underdog or top dog? And usually, who becomes the top dog? The underdog. He was the underdog for 10 years, and then finally he got a made. And now he becomes a top dog. And he gives the same trouble to others he was getting. So, you know, these top down and down to somebody, respect to somebody more with a higher status, even in the material consciousness, it's nothing extraordinary. But to make friends, especially with devotees, on the platform of Krishna consciousness, this is the quickest way to polish away your ego. This is the greatest challenge to the ego. Because there will be challenges in friendly relationships. There will be always challenges in these relationships between equals. I want to ask you, yesterday, who remembered that we have some homework? Okay, that's quite a few. And who thought it would be a good idea to do it? Nice, yes. Who actually tried to do it? Wonderful, yes. Now, those who didn't, please look at the smiling faces of those who did. You see? Why are they smiling? who found... Maybe I can ask you, is there somebody who found that you couldn't guess completely, 100%, but still you found it a very instructive, elevating, uplifting experience trying to... Yes. Thank you. Anybody managed to actually say this to the person? Yes. Anybody, what's your experience? Can anybody say a few words about this experience? What was the reaction of the person, or what was your feeling when you were trying to... Yeah, I should repeat the homework, just in case. It was to find what is the ideal, the highest ideal of your friend. What is the highest value of the person? Not what they have, but what they want to have. That's how Krishna judges us, not by our actual position, but by direction we are going to. Fortunately, that's how he judges us. And samyagvavesito hisa. And then what is the favorite, what do you think is the favorite lila? One of the favorite lilas for the person? And what is the favorite quality in Krishna that your friend likes? That was the homework. So would somebody like to share something about this exercise? Anybody doesn't feel too threatened? Yes. Yes, Maharaji. Spot on. Very good. Yes. What did she feel? Surprised. Pleased. Yes. Closer than you thought. Thank you. Yes. Did you find that it requires you to do some hard inner searching or work to find that favorite idea, quality or lila? So it can open up. And was it? Yes. Somebody, can you please give the mic there? Sorry, you have untangled, I hope, by now. This is a very important practice, in fact, because who is your friend? A friend, at least we hope that a friend is somebody you want to understand and you appreciate. And you appreciate them not for the fact they bring you sweets only, that's also good, certainly, but for what they are. And for the best part of what they are, right? And this is their ideals, and that means you want to know. You actually try to understand. Did it ever happen to you that somebody really understood you deeply, and anybody felt really understood very deeply? This is very important. Without this, we basically languish and we suffer. We are in a psychological vacuum, so to say. And support means people who understand you. So friendly support, that's very important for in a society of devotees. So there was somebody else who had... Yes, can you please tell us?
Is this on?
Yeah. Yes.
My experience was that the Mataji, I spontaneously, immediately after your class approached, she was pleasantly surprised and really touched and happy. And I did it spontaneously because I didn't want my head, my mind, to get in the way.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to come from the heart. And so some of the things I said were definitely correct. And I was happy to be able to connect on that level. And then it came to a point that she actually appreciated it so much. It didn't even matter anymore whether I was correct or not, because she was just appreciating the attempt. And then we happily continued talking about what's dear to us, and we were just so happy to share that and to have further Krishna conscious conversation.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. Yes. So it establishes deep relationships, a deep connection. Some of you may feel a little afraid that, oh my God, it means I will have to talk for hours. The person will feel that, oh, somebody understands me, and they will talk and talk and talk. I can share you my experience with this. I can tell you that, it's possible. However, in our society we have many courses where we have empathic listening included. So it sometimes feels a little artificial to try to understand the emotion of the other person. And at the same time, I know that I once tried with a person, with somebody with whom I had very lengthy conversations usually. These conversations were mostly from that person's side, and in Hindi they call it Ram Kahani. It's not so Krishna, it sounds Krishna conscious, Ram Kahani, but actually it means sad story, you know. Oh, this is bad, that is bad, and this happened, and that happened, and it went on and on and on and on and on, and then, you know. And I found that if I actually say that, oh, it looks like you feel very concerned about this particular problem, when I actually tried to understand the feeling of the person felt understood, and that was it. They didn't have to continue with a three-hour Ram Kahani. They felt, oh, he understands, that's it. So we can go move on to a next to some next level, or to some next Krishna conscious discussion, actually positive discussion. So this is, in fact, very helpful. And just imagine if you have a society with a lot of friends, where we have a lot of friendly connections in our society, how strong would be our society? Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate, isn't it? And how we cooperate, what is necessary to cooperate is being able to surrender our false ego. Right? Friendship means we are able to cooperate, means we can surrender our false ego. Desire to enjoy, desire to control, desire to be on top always, to be to be above others. So when we do cultivate friendships, it's the quickest way to remove our false ego, to diminish our false ego. Of course, all three are necessary. Narada Muni says, if you practice these three types of relationships, which sound very reasonable, very rational, but Narada Muni says, if you practice these three relationships, nata pair abibuyate, the threefold miseries will not be able to touch you. Anybody touched by the threefold miseries here? So here's Narada Muni's advice. You can avoid them. It's quite interesting. It was even before he spoke about bhakti. He said these three things can make you free. And of course, we heard yesterday in Kaliya Lila, if you remember. Yeah, and this is quite amazing. Kaliya Nagapatnis are saying, oh, our husband must have performed tapasya with respect, manadena, and with mercy to all living entities. That's how he must have gotten your mercy. Because he performed some tapasya with these attitudes. Humility, respect, and mercy. And Vishnachakravarti Thakur in the commentary says, only a Vaishnava can be merciful to all the living entities. So it may sound like a general recommendation, general, you know, good life recommendation, be merciful. But Vishnachakravarti Thakur says it's possible only for a Vaishnava. In Jaiva Dharma, Nityananda Das Babaji, I think his name is asked, why for bhakti we prescribed humility and mercy? Does bhakti, is it that bhakti depends on some qualities? And he answers, humility is bhakti and mercy is bhakti. It's not a separate material quality. It is the heart, it's the essence of bhakti. Humility and mercy. And between them you have forgiveness or tolerance. If you are humble, if I'm small and I'm merciful, then I will also be tolerant. So he says it is bhakti. It's not nothing separate from bhakti. It is bhakti. So you can see these are given as the first three. So you can see how Krishna, this is also Bhagavad Dharma. This is before, it is the second question from Maharaj Nimi. So he the Yugendras describe three levels of devotees. It's a very famous verse. Archayam eva haraye pujamya sradaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smrita. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general. People in general. So he does puja to archayam, to the official form in the temple. Natad bhakteshu, but not to devotees, cha anyeshu, and people in general. So such a person is called a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Alexei, what on this? And this is from the same verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada gives some more explanation there. He says, a prakrita bhakta or materialistic devotee does not purposefully study the shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worship the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya. Praya means almost. Prabhupada translates neophyte devotee, or bhakta basa, means a glimpse or reflection of a devotee, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. Yes, and the purport there, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says that one who has full love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who maintains a good friendship with the Lord's devotees is always callous to those who envy Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Such a person is to be considered an intermediate devotee. He becomes a first-class devotee when, in the course of advancing a devotional service, he feels an intimate relationship with all living entities, seeing them as part and parcel of the Supreme Person. Yes. So, how is this part of bhakti? This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. You can see that Rupa Goswami describes five elements of bhakti which is our sadhana. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulyena krishnano shilanam bhaktir uttama. This is what we are invited to practice, all of us. And Rupa Goswami says that three qualities make bhakti bhakti, and two qualities make this bhakti pure. Which of the five do you think are more important? The Svarupa Lakshanas, which make bhakti bhakti, or two tatastha secondary qualities, which make bhakti pure? It seems a challenging question in this time of the day for some of us. However, as you see in this diagram, we have, because it's Svarupa Lakshana, so we have put it, we have made it in the form of hearts, because it's the heart, it's the essence. And so there are three, you can see. So one is very clear, and unfortunately that's where we often stop. We think, that's it, Anushilanam. I chant, that's it. What else? I do some worship, that's it. So that's bhakti. But Rupa Goswami says, no, sorry, that's of course one of elements of bhakti, but there needs to be two more to have the actually for this to be actually bhakti. So then Rupa Goswami says, it has to be directed at Krishna, there has to be proper understanding of the object of worship, and Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna means Krishna and his devotees, and his expansions, and his energies. Then he says, ultimately everything. But we usually understand Krishna to be, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, primarily. So if you understand who you worship, you will be respectful not only to the to Krishna on the altar, in the temple, in your japa bead bag, in the kirtan, or some other official place, but where else? Everywhere. Exactly. Especially, primarily, of course, with devotees. In the 11th canto, Krishna says, in chapter 10, Krishna advises us to worship him everywhere. And he says that you worship me in fire by oblations. You worship the brahmanas by giving them proper reception. One worships me in the cow by feeding her grass and tickling her. Hare Krishna. And there is a proper way to tickle the cow. You tickle her here. Sometimes she comes and shows, you know, here. Because we Westerners oftentimes don't understand. We tickle her somewhere where she doesn't need any tickling. You know, she doesn't need any tickling, usually, normally. You know, okay, bulls, they maybe, if you massage them nicely, they can appreciate that. But they like it here. Yes. And Vaishnave Bandhu Sat Kritya. And one worships the Lord in the devotees by respecting them as great friends, bandhu. You make friends with devotees. That's how you worship Krishna in devotees. Make friends with devotees. Krishna explains this. Yeah, this is 11.44. Krishna explains. So if we understand who Krishna is, we will make friends with Krishna's devotees. We will respect devotees and make friends with devotees. To make friends with somebody, you have to have some respect towards them. So then we will have this beautiful society. Purnachanda Maharaj once was wondering. He said, this is strange. If you go to a society of some impersonalists or Buddhists or somebody, they are so personal and friendly, and you know, they can connect to you on a very personal human level. And when we go to the personalists, sometimes it is so impersonal. I remember Manidhar Prabhu was saying how he came to the BBT in 1980 something, it was in Sweden, and he said he came to the office of some devotee and said, oh, Haribol Prabhu, and the person was, you know, didn't even turn back, didn't even react at all. He just continued, you know, translating whatever he was translating. You know, Manidhar Prabhu said, my God, what is this is very elevated. So Purnachanda Prabhu was wondering, why is this? Those people are impersonalists and they behave in such a personal way. And we are personalists, and oftentimes we get such a cold shoulder. We get such impersonal interactions. Did you wonder about this sometimes? Purnachanda Maharaj said, maybe they compensate for the impersonal, and they don't have anybody personal to pray to, that's why they have personal relationships. And we have so much personal representation on the altar that we feel no need for anymore. However, you can see that this is a sign of a Kanishta. You can see this is a sign of a Kanishta. Maybe that's your experience. That's why we like, advanced devotees. Because they are personal. Isn't it? That's what we like. And it's very funny. We have so many friends, and we make no friends with them, and then we try to go to Maharaj, yes, and get all the personal association from him. So for all the 10 years of our devotional service, we try to pull out from Maharaj the 10 years worth of of personal association. And obviously, Maharaj is giving, and we feel inspired for another 5 years. But why not do it in our daily life? It's not impossible. And so this is, again, not on the bodily platform, not on the platform of just jokes and mind. If we bring Krishna there, if we try to see the actual spiritual values of the person, encourage each other in spiritual growth, and try to center this around Krishna, this has a chance to actually nourish our self. Not the mind, not the body, not the intelligence, but the self. Okay. It has a chance to actually quench the thirst of the soul and satisfy the hunger of the spirit, not the mind or intelligence. Because the mind and intelligence can be satisfied, and we are still hungry. Soul's hunger needs to be satisfied. So this is where this is another joke from my early months in Krishna consciousness. From Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, who said that you join and you start chanting and you become a devotee and you start advancing and you do sadhana and you become a senior devotee. You do more and more sadhana, you become a pure devotee. Then you do more and more sadhana, you become an advanced pure devotee. And then you do even more sadhana and then you become a human. And then everybody comes to you and tries to get a little bit of personal association from you. Isn't it? Why not start with it? At least that's how Bhagavad Dharma is given in the Bhagavatam itself. Start with this. Mercy, friendship, and respect. Mercy, friendship, and respect. And friendship. Personal relationship. Relationships. So, it's included in our definition of sadhana and pure bhakti. So you can see Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. It must be there. And of course, the third most important element, anukulyena, it's of course a very large and important topic, anukulyena. You can see it's in instrumental, Tvaritilnyy Padesh, Tritiya, which emphasizes that without anukulyena, bhakti is not bhakti. Sometimes I try to shake up the audience saying that the biggest mistake a devotee can make is to think that bhakti, somebody is already taking the pen and is poised to write. So try to write it down in your heart, not in your page, in a notebook. So the biggest mistake a devotee can make is to think that bhakti is an activity which pleases Krishna. There's no bigger mistake we can do in devotional service. If we think that bhakti is an activity which pleases Krishna, we end up frustrated, dry, disappointed. Because it removes us from the equation. We are absent. Everybody's writing down. Please don't write down. Please try to think about this. Please try to, you know. Your notebook cannot think. You can write, you can listen again. It's, I think, recorded. So you can, that's. First try to think about this. That if you think that the activity, the bhakti is activity which pleases Krishna, it removes us from the equation. I mean, playing mridanga in the kirtan, does it please Krishna? It does, isn't it? Did you see in Vrindavan the mridanga machines? Did you see? They're amazing, you know, these are far out mridanga machines. You know, boom, 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 dun, 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 dun. It's very cool, huh? But where is the person? Where are you in that? Machine can do this. If it was, you know, just about 2-3-4-7, 2-3-4-7, you know. Also, you can do a machine, 2-3-4-7, 2-3-4-7, 2-3-4-7. Machine can do this. Where are you? So you can see, bhakti, that's why Rupa Goswami adds another thing. It's not just Anushilanam. It's not just Krishna. There must be, it's not just activity which pleases Krishna. Even demons perform activities which please Krishna. Hiranyakashipu, that's why they came. To please Krishna by giving them a good fight. So Krishna was pleased by that. But was it bhakti? No, it was not bhakti. What was missing? It has to be not just the activity which pleases Krishna. It has to be activity which pleases Krishna done with the intention to please Krishna. You must be also there. This was Japa retreat topic from Shashinanda Maharaj, right? That there is Bhagavan, there is Bhakti, and there is Bhakta. You're also there. All three are, Bhakti requires all three. Bhakta is also there. And Bhakta means what? You do something that makes Krishna happy, but you know sometimes temple commander comes and says, you do this. All right, okay, I will do that. Yes, I will do that. Yeah, this crazy temple commander, and you do it, right? He told me, yeah, okay, I will do it. It's like a, you know, prison work or something. Is it very pleasing? No. Krishna is happy with something, and you want him to be happy, intention. So that's what makes bhakti bhakti. This is the main practice. If there is one thing we need to learn in bhakti, this is the one thing. Very simple, but very subtle. I will invite everybody to please try to include this, remember as many times as possible, in your japa, even right now. Are you here to learn a new joke, to hear something interesting or funny or intellectual, or are you here, or because it's out of duty, or I don't know, or to please Krishna, because you want to make Krishna happy? Just add this: you want to make Krishna happy. I'm here at Govardhan. I'm here with devotees. I'm here at Krishna Katha. I'm here, and Krishna likes this, and I want him to like it. I want to make him happy. Can you add this element? I'm here, and I want him to be happy by my being here. And I'm happy to see many people smiling. That's the correct attitude. Yes, that's the magic of bhakti. As soon as you decide, I want to please Krishna, you're happy. Ta-da! Magic connection is established. That's the magic of bhakti. Nothing works as fast as bhakti. And by the way, it's not even pure. Doesn't even have to be pure. This is not a characteristic of pure bhakti. Dear brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties know it, I understand, but it's the characteristic of any bhakti. Not even pure intention for any bhakti. Even if I want something from Krishna, that must be there. And then two decisions to make bhakti pure is that my ultimate priority is Krishna, bhakti. And I trust that I need nothing else except bhakti for any and every success. Bhakti is my main and only process. Everything is within bhakti. If you accept this, boss, that's pure bhakti. Maybe in practice, maybe initial stages, but that's the recommended best pure bhakti process. So even for friendship, in the next chapter, after saying how to worship him everywhere, Krishna says a very interesting verse, which I am sure you will like. Krishna says, Narodhayati mam yogo, I'm not impressed or attracted or conquered by yoga, by sankhya, by dharma, svadhyaya, by, you know, study, tapa, austerity, tyaga, renunciation, neshtapurtam, some ordinary pious activities, dakshina, donations, vratani, vows, yagya, sacrifices, chandansi, chanting of the Vedic hymns, tirthani, visiting different holy places, niyama, yama, following different rules and regulations, yatha, avarunde, as much as I am conquered by satsanga, by association with my devotees. This whole chapter is about devotees. And this is where gopis are glorified in this chapter, in Uddhava Gita, as the top example. Yathavarunde satsanga, association with my devotees. Sarva sangha paho himam, which removes all material attachment. Removes all material attachment. So you may think, oh, tapasya, this, that, that's what we need to do. But Krishna says, nothing attracts me more than your making friends with devotees. Isn't it good? So just being here, you please Krishna more than standing up to the neck in cold water. Fortunately. Oh, thank you. And we want to make Krishna happy. Do we? At least we try to. So please, the next most important homework for our life, try to again and again do this for Krishna. Okay, Krishna, I want to make you happy. I want to make you happy. Fortunately, Krishna is the absolute truth. Luckily for us, he's the absolute truth. So therefore, he is also in the hearts, especially of devotees. He is primarily, naham tishtami vaikunthe, he's not in Vaikuntha, somewhere far away, yoginam hridayeshuva, not in the heart of yogis, yatra gayanti mad bhakta, tatra tishtami narada. He's there where at least three of his devotees talk about him, glorify him. There he is, he says. Oh Narada, I'm there. Hare Krishna. Krishna is very kind. So that's Krishna. So, Rishabhadev says in his instruction to, at the end of his instruction to his sons, in inviting them to advance, he says, Sarvanima dhishnataya bhavadish. Dhishnya. Anybody knows what is dhishnya? It's a temple. Prabhupada translates in Canto 6. It's the temple. Madhishnya. He says, Sarvani, please, my dear sons, you should, sambhavitavyani pade pade, every step you should meditate, sambhavitavyani, that every moving and non-moving living entity is madhishnya, is my temple. And if you meditate like this, tad uharhanam, that will be worship of me. You will worship me like this. By meditating every step, you may say, I'm not making a step now. Well, okay, but there is a hopefully inner movement. So, I invite you to please continue your attempts and endeavors to deepen your friendships by understanding the ideals of your friends, their favorite quality of Krishna, their favorite Leela of Krishna, and try to do this, everything we do for Krishna's satisfaction and pleasure with the intention to please Krishna. And let's follow frequently repeated instruction Krishna gives in the Bhagavatam like this, to meditate on everybody as Krishna's temple. So I will ask you to do one of my favorite exercises. Can you please look around this room, look left, look right, and look back and think, he is Krishna's temple, she is Krishna's temple, Krishna is in his heart also, and in his heart, and in his heart, and his heart, and in her heart, yes, and also here, and in his heart, he's also there. Yes, look around and think that this is also Krishna's temple. Now, why are you all smiling? It's interesting. I have noticed this is it's incredible. 100% of cases, this is the side effect of this exercise. You start smiling. I don't know why. Nobody did anybody force you to smile? You must be happy. So, please carry this smile all the time. Rishabhadev invites, please always meditate like this. Because Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the most attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead whom we want to please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Shall we risk a question or two? Or comment, Maharaj?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I thank you very much for your very researched presentation on the need of developing mercy, friendship, and respect. And how you... you know, saw these qualities in our scriptures and so on. So I think it was a very nice presentation. Please allow me just in order to bring something out to ask a question which I think is sometimes in the mind of our devotees in our society, where, as you properly marked it, it strangely seems that there is an impersonal mood. Could you just... I think you have said it, but just to bring this out, please don't feel uncomfortable or challenged with this. So I will pose a question now. It is a little German question. It will sound a little heavy. I don't mean it like this. It's just to bring something up. How is this different from what we hear in normal society, that you just have good relationships, then your life is good, your belly is full, you have medicine, you have everything. How is this different from here? Here comes the word, an interpersonal life skill.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. If something is good, it's part of the Bhagavatam. So, yes, it is an interpersonal skill, but what's wrong about it? And people do, especially in the last several decades, we see that more and more sattvic things spread in the society. You know, vegetarianism goes mainstream, World Health Organization recommends it, meditation is practiced in most corporate offices, and yoga is supported by state insurance and so forth. So, and this is, if something is good, like normal, proper relationships, and it's there in the materialistic society, although, you know, materialistic, they do have religion, So even though this religion may not be of the highest standard according to our ideas, but still it's a religion. It has God there. But even if it doesn't, still, if something is good, it's good. It's goodness. Yeah? It's sattva-gun, and we do not reject sattva-gun. So there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, sometimes I think this is our difficulty, that we reject sarva-dharman parityajya. We think everything should be thrown away. And we throw away all our materialistic culture, whatever my father and mother taught me. Yes, and then we come to the temple and we behave like Hare Krishna. I will not expand here. And then gradually, you know, they say, what's the sign that you're getting old? The sign that you're getting old, when you realize that almost everything your mother and father told you is correct. That means, oh, yeah, it means I'm getting old. It's a joke, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Rajas adds some distorting unnecessary thing, Tamas subtracts, but Sattva does not distort, doesn't add or subtract to spirit. So you don't have to, if something is good, why reject it? You know, Chanakya Pandit, an intelligent person will take nectar from poison, gold from dirt, qualified a wife from a bad family, and good advice from a lowly person. Right? So if something is good somewhere, then it's good everywhere. That's one point. But of course there is a difference. There's a very big difference, and this is a difference also many of us have experienced. I remember I started practicing devotional service, and then I became extremely disturbed by the fact that I am no longer an easygoing, jolly, companionable person like I used to be. I used to be very friendly. I used to have nice friends, and we had a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden I feel myself so awkward, so rigid. Can I do this? Can I do that? And even with devotees, I'm so mechanical and very in a box. And I felt, what is this? I'm supposed to, you know, become better. And I became worse. And I was very disturbed. Especially I was disturbed by the fact that I'm disturbed. Because I'm supposed to be peaceful, right? And I'm not. And that was very disturbing. So being disturbing was very disturbing. Being disturbed was very disturbing. But that's normal, because before, whatever good qualities you may have, it was for me. It was for my benefit. And when we come, the essence of all our activity is for Krishna. So the mind says, oh, that's for Krishna? No, I'm not going to cooperate with you. And even qualities we thought we have, we lose, so to say. Because all the qualities we have are for Krishna. So the essence, Swarupa Lakshana of Vaishnavas, good qualities, is Krishnaika Sharanam. So in other words, and then when we develop these qualities in Krishna consciousness, then they are for Krishna, and they are real. In chapter 16, verse 3, Prabhupada says that all these qualities are transcendental and should be developed, practiced in every status of life. So the difference is that this is for Krishna, for pleasing, for Krishna's satisfaction, and for satisfaction of devotees. And this is the world of a difference. It when we do the smallest thing for Krishna, it transports us to a different platform and opens the road to the spiritual world. That's the main difference. But externally, may look the same. That's true. I remember this was one of my first questions in Krishna consciousness. What's the difference between sattva-gun and shuddha-sattva? And for 20-something years, I couldn't find any. And because externally, it looks actually pretty much the same, you know, in terms of behavior. In fact, in the Gita, we don't have four gunas, we have three gunas. In the Bhagavatam, yes, we have four. Tamas, Rajas, Sattva, and Nirguna. But in the Gita, we have only Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva. And you can see that Srila Prabhupada conflates, whenever he speaks about transcendental, Sattva and transcendental are described in the same sentence. Sattva is taken as Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness is taken as sattva. It was until we studied Canto 10, testing of Vishnu, that I found actually some Shastric reference to the difference between sattva and Shuddha sattva, which was that when Bhrigu came and kicked Vishnu in the chest, what did Vishnu say? Say, oh, I'm sorry, sorry, dear Bhrigu, did you hurt your foot? I'm very sorry, I didn't stand up. That's true, I'm so lazy, I'm always lying down. Everywhere, you know, Garbhodaka, I'm lying down. You know, Karanodaka ocean, I'm lying down. I'm very sorry, I should have stood up before you came. Did you hurt your foot? So Vishnachakaraja Thakur says that not becoming angry would be sattva. Like tolerating and forgiving would be sattva. But trying to comfort Bhrigu, that's Shuddha Sattva. It's so much beyond false ego that it's Shuddha Sattva. So that's the difference between Sattva and Shuddha Sattva. But externally it may look very similar. Externally it may look very similar, Sattva and Shuddha Sattva. That's one point. Would you like to add something to this, Maharaj?
Yes, your point was well taken, that the difference really between a material skill, which helps you to get by, and these Bhagavad Dhammas, is that you're no longer in the center, but Krishna comes in the center. And then you made a good difference between Shuddha, between just Sattva and Shuddha Sattva. And it's really this bringing Krishna into the picture, which changes everything, you know, around. Yes, no, I didn't ask this. I just wanted you to say this. Yes,
Hare
Krishna.
Okay, so we can send somebody say that we are not coming for breakfast, and we can continue. No, or we can. You know, they did something, so we have to go, no? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, for Krishna's pleasure, deepening our friendships with each other and seeing each other as Krishna's temple, let's continue. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.